Hi, we're Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life.
We get what that chaos looks like when you... It said looks like.
Okay. What do you do? Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here. All right. Welcome back to Brain Basement, everyone. So happy to be here with you again, another week and another chat with Angie and Annalie. Today we'll be talking about emotions again, go figure. But this time we'll be talking about clean versus dirty emotions. And sometimes we refer to these as primary versus secondary and kind of how those play out in day-to-day life. And before we do, we will just take a moment to invite a little bit of stillness and pause into our day. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, we can always invite a little bit of stillness. And a lot of times we can do that with our breath is sometimes the easiest way to do it. So just take a minute. If you're in a place where you can close your eyes, you can go ahead and do that, or if not, you're welcome to keep them open and just start off by noticing your breath. What kind of breath is happening in your body right now? Is it shallow breath or maybe a deep breath? And where is that breath happening? Do you feel it in your chest? Or in your neck, or maybe down in your belly or abdomen. And whatever you're finding out about your breath, just notice it. And if it feels nourishing to you to take a couple deep breaths and lengthen out that inhale and the exhale, you can go ahead and do that. And as you're deepening that breath, just notice your feet, what they're touching, if it's the floor, and feeling that ground beneath you, keeping you up and keeping you steady. And grounding you. Or if you're sitting, take a moment to notice the seat beneath you and how it's supporting you and holding you up and also providing some grounding. And returning your attention back to the breath and just taking note of it again, the quality of your breath and where it's happening in your body. And if there's an area or a spot in your body that feels like it could use some extra nourishment and strength, support, take a moment to send your breath to that area, imagining oxygen flowing to that area, providing some energy and revitalization and some oxygen to that area. And as you take note of the breath and the floor or the seat, remembering that all these things provide stability for us throughout our days, and that we can return back to any one of these to remember that we are supported and held up by even the smallest things, no matter how our day is going. And if your eyes have been closed, you're welcome to slowly open them and bring your awareness back to this chat. So, hey, Angie.
Hey, thanks. It's so fun to be friends with a certified, trained mindfulness teacher. Like whenever I read something that says surround yourself with good people, I'm like, oh, I have good people in my life. And then you lead a little breath work and I'm at the end of my day in the evening at 6 p.m. So when we record, so I appreciate stopping and taking some breaths.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same when you do the breaths too, by the way.
Okay, so let's talk about clean and dirty, or sometimes we call it clean pain and dirty pain, clean emotions, dirty emotions. What are your thoughts? Where did you first hear about clean pain or clean emotions and dirty emotions?
Yeah, so the first place I heard about these was, well, I guess in a couple different places, because the terms clean and dirty came from a coach that we both follow pretty closely, Brooke Castillo, and a life coach, and she talks about clean versus dirty emotions. But I had also, the more I learned about them, the more I realized that you can use the terms, yeah, primary and secondary kind of interchangeably, primary being the clean and secondary being the dirty. And I had heard those from other therapists and the Gottman Institute. And I think my initial feeling when I heard about them was like, I had a little bit of an aha moment, because it wasn't just, you know, we aren't just talking about emotions as equal, all equal, but we're kind of starting to put them in different buckets, depending on the context. And the way it was defined to me was, and the way I interpreted it was, primary emotions or clean emotions are those emotions that, it's that first initial emotion you have when you just experience anything in your day, when stimulus happens and occurs, then you respond. You know, as humans, we're just responding to things. And it's, you know, anything from happy, sad, mad, you know, those initial emotions.
Yeah. And I want to point out, it is mad and sad. All the emotions can be primary, because when I first heard this, or if this is the first time hearing this, you might be thinking dirty emotions are like the bad emotions. So you would think of the clean emotions as happy and joyful and successful and confident, and the dirty emotions as sort of things we call negative emotions, but it's not that at all. So you're right. It's that initial reaction, whether it's like horror, shock, pain, anger, sadness, those are all clean emotions. Mm-hmm. When that's your initial reaction, that is what you are feeling authentically. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
Yeah, that's perfect. Cause yeah, clean and dirty, it's like, what's that? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. So, and then the dirty or secondary are those emotions that we sometimes, they kind of grow out of the primary emotion. So they can be like morphed into something that we then layer on top of that initial feeling. So I guess, for example, if the emotion is, you know, jealousy. Jealousy is a very normal response to a situation. It could be considered a clean or a primary emotion. But that jealousy, when kind of nursed for, I don't know, lack of another term, can become a different emotion, like resentment. Or can you think of another one?
Yeah, or like I even think of disappointment or guilt, because if I am initially jealous, say something happens and I have that initial reaction of, I wish that were me. That's my primary reaction. And then if I keep thinking about it, or I keep going back to that place, I could get to, I'm not good enough. That's never me. And so then I'm in like more disappointment in myself or lack of self-worth. And so that first part, that's your initial reaction. That's like jealousy. It hits me. I feel it. Ugh, I'm jealous. And then the secondary unnecessary part is when I start adding on guilt for I should be better and that could be my life. And then, so that doesn't just happen automatically as a gut reaction. That's when our minds sort of get into our emotion and layer on the next level of, oh, we could turn this into some negative self-talk. Angie's feeling jealous. So now my brain is like, okay, we can tell her all the ways that she's failing at being the best in life, and pile on a secondary emotion, which would be the dirty emotion. Yeah. That's not necessary.
Yeah. So it's like all of a sudden you're experiencing more than one emotion. You're mm-hmm. experiencing jealousy and guilt.
Exactly. Yeah. Fun stuff. Good time.
Yeah. I love this. So this is my question. Could a secondary emotion, you know, as we define them, ever be, can we ever move it into the primary emotion? You know, so I think you're right. Like we think of some of these emotions like disappointment, guilt, even I feel like resentment feels very secondary to me. Could they ever be primary? Or do you feel like they're always an outgrowth from?
I mean, I think definitely the emotion could exist as a primary. I could just initially feel resentment if I see something that makes me feel resentful, and that could be my primary emotion. But I don't think that the secondary emotion becomes the primary. It can mask. I think this is sneaky because that secondary emotion can become so strong. The guilt or negative self-talk can take over that I don't even remember what started that cycle in my mind. So it could override, but I still think the primary emotion would stay defined as this. And I think we also do it in a way that's kind of a reverse. Something good can happen to us, or something we feel proud of, or we're happy about. And sometimes the emotion that we can layer on is recognizing we're happy, or we're feeling really confident, or we're feeling proud. And then we go to, I shouldn't feel that. Not everyone in the world gets to feel happy, or I shouldn't feel so proud of myself, or I don't want to be arrogant. And then we layer on guilt for feeling proud. We felt mm-hmm. proud for a moment and then had to like take ourselves down a notch. So it's not that the initial emotion that could be a positive winning feeling, and we can still tamper it down with a secondary not great overriding feeling.
Yeah. I like that. So why, like, why is this important? You know, why do people talk about primary versus secondary? Why don't we just lump them all into emotions? And like, is there any, what's the significance behind knowing the difference?
I think like you and I, we basically created a podcast just to talk about our own emotional awareness. So you and I know and have clearly seen some effects in our life of paying attention to what we are feeling. And I think you and I think it's really powerful. It's like life-changing stuff. So noticing what I'm feeling makes a big difference for how I either a process that feeling, how I just bring it into my next task that I'm doing and continue like a ball of stress increasing and increasing, or the opposite happens when I pay attention to what I'm feeling. The things that you always bring up, like naming the feeling, just recognizing what I'm in. Otherwise, when I'm not paying attention, I really am kind of just reacting to life. I'm not making deliberate choices. I don't have time to notice that I was feeling pride and now I'm feeling shame and guilt because I feel that's my natural reaction to when I feel impressed with myself. I immediately turn into, nope, you shouldn't feel impressed with yourself. That's not the right thing to do. And then I go into judgment and all of those things happen without me noticing. It's me not being present in my life. And it's me getting caught up in days that string together and weeks that string together. And then a year has passed and my life is kind of happening to me. Mm-hmm. When I'm not paying attention to my emotions. So that's why I like to think about, what am I feeling? Can I allow this feeling? What am I judging myself for feeling? All of that. What about you?
Yeah, I think the reason why knowing secondary versus primary for me is important is kind of along the lines of what you're saying, like life can just kind of be happening without even us realizing what's happening. And I think a lot of times when I'm in that mode, I'm often living in the space of my secondary emotions, if that makes sense, where I'm almost like in a constant cycle of either avoiding or resisting or judging the primary emotion. But if I'm more in tune with those initial raw responses to life, it's like I can actually work with those and feel them and connect them to the things that are happening to me and find meaning behind them. But the secondary, it's almost like it has its way with me. But with the primary, it's like I'm kind of more in control because I'm noticing like, just what's coming up. And like, I guess an example that came to mind, and I think I've already shared this on the podcast, but it was, my husband and I were having an argument and, I mean, my emotion was anger, but it had to do with something that I had been, hurt by. And so kind of in the heat of the moment, like I'm venting to him, I just paused all of a sudden and was like, you know what? I think I'm actually really hurt right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that doesn't happen very often where I'm like, oh, this is my primary emotion. You know, let me just take a moment to rewind. But in that instance, I go back to it often to kind of think about this idea of what was at the root of the situation, you know? And I think it, for me, it's a really good example of primary versus secondary because, you know, I had all this anger and towards him, but actually when I kind of peeled back the layers, I realized, oh, it doesn't have anything to do with you. And I just feel some clean pain, you know, around this thing that happened. And it really helped both of us because all of a sudden there was like nothing to yell about. It was just to kind of sit there and both feel disappointed and hurt about this thing that had happened. So I think that's why, it brings some significance to my life to know the difference.
Right. And I think too, like just recognizing, like you said, clean pain, like I'm hurt. Initially, it's just our wiring and our culture and everything we've been taught is don't feel hurt. Oh, hurt feels yucky. Don't feel that. We don't want to feel that. Feel happy, feel happy. And if you've learned that and been working towards that and aiming at that for 20 or 30 or 40 years, it really does take a lot of awareness to start realizing, oh, I can feel hurt. When someone says something insulting to me or I see injustice happening in the world, I don't want to be numb to it and walk around skipping and saying everything's great. That is a kind of pain that I want to be able to feel and injustice. Ow, this is hurting me. What do I want to do about it? What action can I take in the world to change the injustices that I see happening, or like someone bullying someone that I want to feel hurt, or someone being mean to me? I don't want to smile at them and say, that sounds great. I'll see you again tomorrow. And you can do this. Talk to me about this again tomorrow. I want to feel a intentional reaction of, no, don't say that to me. I don't want to listen to this, you know, continue this relationship this way, some kind of stand up for yourself feeling. So it's not just about avoiding pain, but seeing where pain is coming from. Yeah. Is this my primary emotion? Why am I feeling this? How do I want to react to it?
Yeah. Have you seen Encanto, the new movie?
No, I haven't. And my kids were all just here. And we have a little bit of an addiction to buying TV channels every time they cross our paths. And so we have owned Disney Plus in the past. My husband has a little bit of a... is a little bit of a reaction to the speed with which we sign up for every possible TV subscription. And so we do not have Disney Plus and access to Encanto right now, but I hear it's fantastic.
Yeah. When you watch it, we have to do an episode on it because it keeps coming to my mind as we talk about these things, because for me, we can totally talk about primary versus secondary in the context of that movie. I don't want to give anything away, so we're going to stop there and let's do another episode. But I loved it, and I feel like we could, yeah.
This is a professional reason to purchase. This is now a professional necessity for work to purchase Disney Plus. Okay.
Yeah. Tell Bill it's for work. Purposes.
That's right. It's research.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my next question. So if you're new to secondary versus primary, clean versus dirty, how do you tell the difference? So you're just going about your day and you feel a certain strong emotion and you want to kind of get underneath it or investigate, like how would you go about it?
Okay, let's see. So let's picture one of us in the middle of the day, right? And I'm frustrated and there's a pile of dishes. So then I guess I would step back and check in. I'm feeling frustration. I'm feeling stressed. So then I would even taking like 2 minutes. It doesn't have to be go sit down in a quiet room for 10 minutes. The music can still be on and leave the dishes in the sink just for 2 minutes. We all have it. And think about why am I frustrated today? And then working backwards. Okay, that person cut me off when I was driving to drop off the kids. They didn't have what I needed for dinner. I don't have what I need for dinner in the fridge. Like, what are the, so, okay, now I'm just, am I feeling like mad at myself because I didn't pick up the groceries yesterday? Noticing what's going on. And you don't have to perfectly identify it. This was my primary emotion, of course, just paying attention. I did read one awesome idea in a book last night, and I wrote it on my hand. So it was when going through transitions each all day long, right? We're doing 10 different things. We're doing yoga, and then we're eating lunch, and then we're picking up kids from school, and then we're hopping on a Zoom call. But we lose connection in the transition from going one thing to the next in our busy, busy lives. So it was release tension, set intention. So just in between, when you're leaving your house and you're getting in the car to go pick up your kids at school, you say for 2 seconds to yourself, release, release, and just kind of relax your muscles, release tension. I'm now leaving the house and those chores and whatever I've done today behind. And now I'm setting an intention. How do I want to pick up my kid from school? I just want to be present with them. I want to check in with how their day was. I want to put on some fun music and enjoy our drive home. It's like a little reset in the middle of the day. And I think that's kind of a fun way to notice when you're holding on to tension from stress and our busy lives or something that happened to you yesterday. So I've been trying to pay attention to that today.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you notice?
Well, I guess I just like the out loud brainstorming here, because when you, I love that little saying, like even just something small, like a quick mantra, or even when we see something that is just a regular daily occurrence, like every time I go up the stairs, that's when I check in with myself, like yeah. Just like a deep breath. I'm going up the stairs, a quick inward check. Like you said, how am I doing? Or maybe it's every time I wash my hands or something like that. Because I think the human brain, we're not wired to automatically turn inward and always be like self-evaluating. Also, it kind of sounds a little like, who does that? But I think if we have something that we've set an intention for that reminds us to kind of do that inward check. I love that idea.
That's exactly what the book said, Annalie. You're like a mind reader. It said, you know, your trigger can be whatever works in your life. Maybe it's like walking through a doorway. Maybe it's every time you sit down. Maybe it's when you feel your ankle twist. I don't know, where you remind yourself to check in at that point and you have, where you set little triggers for yourself, or you set an alarm to go off 3 times a day, something. Because of course, with like a Zoom call, we are all doing so many Zoom calls. We don't sit down and create an intention before our Zoom call or, you know, dinner or something. So maybe we do for dinner if we say a family prayer, but
yeah. Yeah, I think they're like anchors, right? Like yes. Meditation, a lot of times they talk about anchors, and an anchor is just the thing that you've decided to return your attention back to when your mind has wandered. But you can also use anchors like in your daily life, like any of these things. And it's just that, yeah, that cue to return your attention back to the thing that you're intending to do. Mm-hmm. And then it allows you to, like you said, name it. And like, yeah, there's different steps after that, but I think there's so much power in that first step of just like bringing your attention back and giving it a name, because then you at least know, you have a little bit of a window into what you're working with. And a lot of a phrase that I heard once to kind of tack on to the end of like, I'm feeling this and it's okay. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. And I think it's, I love that because if I'm in a hurry and I can't, you know, stop for 5 minutes and feel my feelings, like when does that happen? I can just like grant myself that permission on the go and maybe take a minute to go back to it later if it's something that I feel like I need to work through. But, and I think that that compassion is especially important when we're dealing with secondary emotions. Cause when I first learned about secondary emotions, I was like, oh, those are the ones that sound like they're my fault. You know, like, oh, I took myself there. So I'm just going to like then blame myself for feeling the guilt. And like, that's obviously not intended when we learn about primary versus secondary.
Now like you're just on third level emotion. You're like, and now I feel guilty for my for recognizing my secondary emotion.
Exactly. Like how many emotions can we pile on? And like we can grant ourselves just as much compassion for that secondary or third emotion as we can with the primary, because it's such a human reaction to judge our feelings or avoid them and resist them. And so I like that little saying, excuse me, at the end, it's like, I'm feeling resentment and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And just allow my, like, just create space around that. Like, I don't need to be super rigid with this feeling because it's normal to take ourselves to these emotions that don't always feel good.
That is such a good point. Annalee, you and I did not have so many people that I talked to about emotions at this level. These conversations are so fun. And I think you and I are at the point where we're like, I'm feeling like total crap. And you're like, good job. That's awesome.
Well, and when we talk about our kids or normal things, we're like, this is so boring. That's just, we have to talk about emotions.
Yes. I can have that conversation with kids. I mean, about kids with other people, but someone who studies emotions and is so much fun. So to wrap up, we have to wrap up and that's okay. but if you would like to join us for some of these conversations, we now have established our own place for members, and it does cost money. The first tier is $1 a month. There's also a $20 a month option, but we're throwing all kinds of fun discussions in there and live discussions so we can talk to you. So if anyone has any interest in joining us for more of these conversations, we would love to have you in there talking about all the things. Anything else before we wrap up, Annalee?
No, I think we hit our quota for emotional literacy today.
Yes, this is feeling good. Good stuff. Okay, thanks everyone.